We are on Bava Metzia Daf Samech Dalet 64. I believe we're up to Amar Rav Kahana. Yeah, Amar Rav Kahana Havi Yasivna B'Shilhei Pirkei D'Rav. I came and I sat in the B'Shilhei Pirkei D'Rav means
on the end of a lecture.
The end. Shilhei means end. I thought Shilhei meant chapter, but okay. Vishamis dekamar kari kari. And I heard him say the words.
Gourds.
Kari is gourds? Okay. Veloyodana mai kamar. I didn't know what he was talking about. Because I wasn't at the beginning of the drasha. That's what you get for walking in the middle of the rabbi's drasha. Basar dekam rav. After Rav got up and left, Amri lehu, I asked the other students who heard the whole thing, my kari kari to come around, what are you talking about? Amri Lee, how can you come around? Hai man diyav zuze ligina kari. Person gave money for the sake of gourds. Okay. Vika'azli asara kari b'nei zarta. And the cost of them in the marketplace was one zarta? Is that a number?
What's saying, and in the market, 10 small gourds, each the length of a span, are going for a zuz.
Okay, so this is a 10, a zuz for 10. 10 for a zuz. If Amarle and the person that owned the gourds, Yahavina lach bre garmida. He said, I'll give you one gourd?
No, it says, pay me now and I'll give you at a later date 10 large gourds, each an arm long for Zuz. So yeah. At the going, great.
I've never seen one that big myself.
Well, yeah, obviously.
It says here an entire amma. As opposed to Bezeid. Okay. The Ka'azi Asar Kari Bini Zarta are smaller gourds. And he says, I'll give you bigger ones at the same price. Isnehu, if he already had them, so Shari, Lesnehu Aser. If he didn't have them yet, it's going to be Aser, presumably because the price will fluctuate. Pshita says, the Gemara, isn't that obvious? Isn't that obvious that it's a problem because you didn't? It looks like ribis, or there is ribis.
No, it says. Why did Rob have to state that if the gardener doesn't yet have the large gourds, it's prohibited?
Okay, right, because that's obviously a problem because the price fluctuates, right? I think that's the problem. Says where pshita. Not just that it fluctuates, but that you're sort of waiting on it. And we said before that you have to pay for the waiting period.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's not so speculative that they're going to grow to an amma.
Uh-huh. That's true, too. So, pshita ma'odetema, what would you have thought? Kev and mele karavu shaper tami. Because there's nothing you have to do about it. It's not in your hands. It's just going to happen. And therefore, I guess it's like inevitable type of thing. Shaper tami, maybe that's okay because it's like he already has them. Kamash Malan, even that is not okay because it's not necessarily going to happen. Sezmar Kaman, who is that going according to? Kihai Tana. Detanya, like this brisa, haholech lachlov es iza veligzos es rechela velirdos es karvarto umitzo chavero v'yamarlo mash izai cholvos machor lecha. If he's about to go milk his goat or shear his sheep or take honey to squeeze out the honey from his, what are they called?
Beehive.
Combs?
Beehive.
The hive itself, okay, the whole hive. So, and then he finds his friend on the way and says, hey, I will sell you everything that I get from the goat or the other two, I guess. So Mashir Khali goes as Osmach Lacha Lacha Mash Kavarti Roda Machalacha Mutter. That's okay. About Im Amar Lo Mashi Izai Cholvos Kach Vekach. If he says the X amount of liters that my goat will be milked. Machor lecha mashir achilai gozeros kach v'kach, or this amount of wool. Machor lecha mashir kavarti roda kach v'kach machor lecha, or this amount from the honey. So then that's all usher, because essentially what he's going to do is pay a current price for the sake of something which could fluctuate, or it could be that it doesn't exist yet, doesn't fill that quota.
Isn't the difference here as simple as it's allowed when you just say whatever comes out here, mm-hmm. I'll sell to you for this price. So you're just you as the buyer you're taking a risk. You could get X, or you can get a lesser amount Y.
Right.
But you can't. Exists. You can't say I am going to let you have the X amount of items that,
unless you know for sure you already have it. In this case, he doesn't know that, so it could be.
I'm
puzzled by this example. The guy who's being really unclear what you're selling is the one who says, I'll take whatever you get. I mean, if you know your goat herd and you know it's going to produce, there's basically no question this goat herd is going to.
I hear you. There's a speculation aspect to the buyer, but the difference is that the product already exists. And that's the big difference between the two cases.
In the first case, he's going to milk his goat.
Right, but the product, he only commits to giving whatever already exists.
In the second case, he commits to giving a definite quantity, but he knows darn well it already exists.
No, we don't know.
How does he know
that? We don't know if it's there or not.
I have, goats that always...
Well, we don't know what he said.
You know, I get
we don't know what he said, and we don't know if
gallon,
that...
I have no idea if the thing a gallon a day out of each of these 100
right,
goats.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I get that.
So
what
if something happened to that goat?
Maybe
the
goat was sick.
Time.
Maybe the milk was spoiled. Maybe, I don't know.
So the person who gets... Then at least you know what your damages are. The person who says, I'll pay you $1,000 for just whatever your goats produce... and the goats are...
But there's still a time period in between that moment and the next moment and the next time where we can milk the goat, which is going to be a possible fluctuation. If the thing doesn't exist yet...
I think we're overthinking it. Isn't it just as simple as they're not allowing speculative sale?
Yeah. I think David's point is, isn't the first one speculative also?
Correct.
But it's not speculative in the sense that we don't know what he's going to sell or how much he sold it for, because he's only doing what he gets right now. He's only ever
given. I'm just saying it's practical more than the second case. He's only selling what he gets right now also.
We don't know that. We don't know that. No, he's committing to something right now.
David, I understand what you're saying, David, but... past performance is...
Right. It doesn't guarantee.
And so in any case, the guy who buys in the first case is not buying stupidly. He's not saying, I'm probably going to give you $1,000. If you get an ounce of honey, good. He's buying based on past performance. I'm looking at the size of your hives.
Right.
I'm looking at the size of your hives. I'm looking at your goat herd.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it is.
And so I too have an
right, but from the perspective,
I think I'm getting right. It.
Correct. You're hopeful, but from the perspective of the commitment itself is only for something that already exists. It's not for something that's speculative. It's speculative in terms of what you'll get out of it. It's non-speculative in terms of commitment.
Let's say I've got 1,000 sheep.
Yeah.
And I'm buying blindly whatever will those 1,000 sheep.
I know what you're saying.
I'm taking for. $1,000.
No, we never gave a price.
We never gave a price.
He just says, "Yeah, I'll take whatever you have."
No, I thought there is a price.
No, I don't think there's a price here. If there was a price, then there would be a speculation.
In the first case?
Yeah, first case. Says, "I'll sell
here,
it to you."
At least here, it says, like, whatever milk my goat's yield is sold to you, and then the note is for such and such a price.
Oh, well, I think that means in terms of like the per quantity price. It doesn't mean like overall, I think, no? Like the case we just said was a, you know, 10 gourds per zuz or something like that. I mean, that's, he's giving a rate. I assume that he's giving a rate. He's not giving like an overall number. How could he give an overall number? He doesn't even know what quantity it is.
I don't know.
It's too ambiguous.
Anyway, there's that issue. So it's a per unit number. The second is it's a per unit number too. And the guy is an expert. They're both experts. Mm-hmm. They look at that at that flock of sheep and they give a very conservative number.
Well, you just said that. That's not necessarily true, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. It could be a conservative number. They could be taking it, they could be doing it faithfully and justly and whatever. But the point is that that kind of agreement, that structure is not reliable in the sense that it could not be at that amount, in which case there's going to be a waiting period and the price of the market, the value could fluctuate. So the Gemara is saying here, that's what Rav is basing it on. V'afagav v'mele karav, and even though these things are going to naturally be produced, not going to grow necessarily when it's milk, but kevad lo yishata, because the item itself was not in existence necessarily, therefore it's aser. Igadar mi amar Rav, alternatively Rav says, kevad v'mele karav u'shapir dami. Rava, yeah, it could be that Rava is the one that was this whole time. But either way, Kevin de Mamela Karavu Shapir Dami, maybe because it is being grown naturally, or these things are coming naturally, nothing to do with the owner's efforts or anything like that. So then it's not that it's not a problem, it's just a matter of time. And then the Gemara responds, "V'ha'tayne kavkach aser." Doesn't it say in that price that it would be aser to not have it, even if it already exists or it comes naturally? So Gemara said, "Nohasam lav mine karavu dishakli le lahai v'asya achrini beduchte." The concern there is the reason why it's aser in the case of the honey, wool, or milk. Is it because it doesn't grow from itself? It doesn't grow from itself naturally, or it's not only from the stuff that's grown. You could bring it in from outside. Okay. Hachamine karavu. In the case of the gourds are only growing from here. I don't know how you
print. This is a weird distinction. The distinction seems to be, you know, if you take the milk, the milk, the wool, or the honey that exists at the time of the agreement, more milk, wool, or honey are going to come from the original source. But with the gourds, once you pick the gourds, you're
it's
done.
It's done, it's done. Is that what it's saying?
That is what it's saying. I don't understand.
I thought maybe it refers to adding to the quantity. When it comes to milk, honey, and wool, you could sort of like add stuff to it. And it's hard to tell what's from what. Whereas the gourds, it's like one gourd. You can't add other gourds.
Rava sanctioned the case of the gourds only because the small gourds that exist at the time of the contract will themselves grow into large ones. Mm-hmm. The reason is that at the time of the agreement, buyer requires the small gourds, and essentially it's his gourds that continue to grow.
Interesting. All right.
The milk, wool, and honey, it's new produce that is continually being created. Proof of the matter is that if the present milk, wool, or honey is removed, new milk, wool, and honey continue to be produced.
It's not the same item that's growing.
Yeah.
Okay. It is an interesting distinction because it's the same animal that's growing, but it's not the same wool that's growing.
Yeah.
You're not paying for wool. You're not paying for this. You're paying for wool overall. Hacha mine karavu de kishakli le lahai lo asya achrina bilte. When you take this, you're not gonna grow another gourd. It's just that's it. A person is allowed to say to his friend, take from me 4 zuz for that barrel of wine. If the wine goes bad, if it sours, turns into vinegar, and it becomes yours, if it gets more expensive or it gets better, the wine gets sweeter.
Appreciates or depreciates.
Okay. Iikara izila birshusi. If the value of the wine goes up or down, so then it's my problem. But if it sours, it's your problem.
In other words, I run the risk.
I take financial responsibility, but you take physical responsibility?
No, I mean, it sounds to me like it's saying, I'll take the risk that it could go up or could go down, but I'm not going to take the risk that it'll just be spoiled. And
I mean, I want to make something off of it. I guess there's some kind of time period where they're going to not give
I
the money.
I see a problem with this. It's like, I'm buying the barrel of wine from you, and now it becomes... So it becomes my wine right now, and Profit or Loss says there's no repeat problem because I already own it.
Whatever the person is paying is already what they paid.
Going sour, that's a matter of you properly taking care of it, and so it's like a deposit that I made to you. It's like a deposit I made to you, and you're a Bailey, and you have to safeguard it from heat or whatever would cause it to go sour.
So you're saying this doesn't make sense?
I said it does make sense.
It does, but why would that be a Bailey situation? You're not getting the wine yet.
Because you're safeguarding it.
Yeah, but
you're a showmare. You're my showmare.
But we just said that the guy said, if it sours, it's on you, not me.
Correct. It's on you, not because it still belongs to you, but because you're my showmare. That's my analysis.
Hold on. Who's talking to who? I thought the seller is the one talking.
The buyer is talking.
Okay, yeah, so let me read this again.
We're looking at it from the buyer's perspective.
Okay, so he's saying, you've got wine. Take my 4 azuz for your wine. And he says, if it breaks the... Okay, that makes sense. I hear what David's saying. You're acting as my showmare. But if it goes up or down in value, I'll pay the difference? That's what he's saying?
No, I just accept. I'm paying you right now. If it goes up or down...
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. Meaning it's not I'm paying, literally, but it's on me. The financial fluctuations, I'll bear the brunt of them, whatever.
Because I'm the owner.
Right, now he's the owner. Right, that makes sense.
That's my...
It's essentially like I'm paying for it, and it now happens to be in your possession. So Amar Rav Shravya L'Abaye... high karov l'sachar v'rachok l'hafsidhu. This lokeach is close to making money and far from losing money? How is he far from losing money? What if it sours? Or what if it... I guess if it goes bad, so then he's not going to be on the hook. But if it goes down in value, it won't be such a loss. I think this is like a phrase. Karlo Sachav Rakel Hafsidhu.
Then Abaye replies.
Amarlay.
I don't understand what the resolution is here.
It's not Rachel Mehafsid. Kevin to Mekabal Alei Zola. Because if it depreciates, he's accepting the loss there. Karlo Lazev Lazehu.
Is Abaye saying it's allowed or it's not allowed?
Abaye is saying that makes it okay. I think there's a phrase, and we haven't seen it yet. But I think there's a concept on Daf Ayin which says that karav losacha v'rachok lehefsid is a problem, meaning that you can't only take the benefits of something and sort of outsource the losses. And whoever is talking, this is Rav Shravya says to Abaye, isn't this a case of karav losacha v'rachok lehefsid, which is like avak ribbis? It's not real ribbis, but it's avak ribbis because you're only making more money, you're not willing to lose. There's not enough skin in the game. To which Abaye says, no, there is at least some skin in the game because he could still lose money by depreciating, as opposed to Rav Shravya says, no, he's got to lose. He has to be able. Maybe I don't know. Maybe Rav Shravya is saying he's got to be able. He's got to be willing to lose as much money as he's willing to gain in order for it to make sense. Here, there is a point at which you're not going to be responsible for the loss if it completely depreciates into vinegar. So then maybe, it seems like there's a machlokes there. Like, I don't think Abaye's response is changing anything that the Rosh Ravia knew. Like, yeah, he understands what's going on, but maybe there's like a proportionality problem that in order to avoid this issue of karav losach of rechel lehefsid, it's got to be in proportion of whatever you can gain is also what you can lose. And Rosh Ravia said, like, at a certain point, he's not going to be able to lose that much, so he could only gain more. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Mirat Hashem, I think that's Wednesday's daf next week. So we'll see. Says the Mishnah, Hamalves Chavero, someone who loans to a friend, Lo Yador Bachatzero Chinam. The Malves shouldn't live in the borrower's courtyard for free. Velo Yiskor Mimenu Chatz, Velo Yiskor Mimenu, he shouldn't rent a place from him.
For less than the usual price.
Okay, so meaning we're saying you're giving a loan. When you're in this transaction of a loan, don't do anything with that person that might be either perceived or actually at some kind of discount, because that might, again, I'm not sure if we're talking about perception or we're talking about actual ribbis. I can't tell.
The obvious question to me is, this was a long-standing pre-existing situation. You know, we're very good friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe even relatives, and I let you live rent-free in my courtyard.
I don't have those questions because we've only just done the mission.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting case.
But money, but okay.
I just heard someone say a case where they entered into a rental property. And they said, and then we became friends. Me and the landlord became friends, and he never raised my rent in like 10 years. That, you know, it just reminds me of that. Like, that's an interesting case, meaning like, that's not ribbis, but like, it is expected for rent to go up. It depends on the rental agreement, but I'm just saying, like, maybe there's something to that. I don't know. But that's different because you don't have an extra loan beyond the actual rental agreement. My first thought was this was all in perception, that it looks bad, but sounds like it's actual ribbis, even though it's not tied to the loan at all. Like, when I think of ribbis, I think of like, okay, I give you this, you give me more back for this loan.
In your case, something changed after the loan. They became, I mean, the normal expectation was, you know, in year one, it's a market rent. By year 10, it's way under market.
Right. That price, yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Right, let's see in the Gemara. Okay. I have a long note, which we're not going to read, but that means we're probably going to be in trouble. Well, let's see if we can do it. Amar of Yosef, Bar Minyomi, Amar of Nachman. Afal Pisha Amru, Hadar Bechatzar Chavero, Shalomi Dato, Enotarach Lahalos Losachar. If somebody lives in, we learned this at the beginning of Baba Kama. This is Zenen of Zelo Chaser. This is the baseball game analogy, right? If nobody's at a baseball game, you can move up. No one's sitting in those seats, right? So here, you're allowed to, even though a person who lives in someone else's property without his knowledge doesn't have to pay him any money because he didn't lose out anything, assuming he didn't lose anything. However, Hilvahu, if he had lent him money first, and then Vidar Bachatero, Tarak Lahalos Lasachar, then you do have to pay rent, so it doesn't look like ribs. Okay, that's a looking thing, a perceptive thing, because technically he doesn't owe him anything.
This is a weird twist on my situation. My question was, I already live in his...
Already live there, now what?
I live there, and we're already friends. He knows about it. We're already friends.
So this is a perception. This is an optics thing. What's the halach? What's it teaching us? Tanina, hamalves chaver lo yodir b'chatzir, chino lo zikor mamonech b'pachos mim deishu ribis. We already said this in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, no imi mas nisin havi mina hani mili b'chatzir d'kaim l'agra. Maybe that's only in a rental property. V'gavra da'avid l'megar. And it's a person who is renting it out. Aval chatzir d'lo kaim l'agra, but a place that's not being rented out. V'gavra da'lo avid l'megar. And a person that is... Wait, what is the Gavra Davra the Megar? I thought I meant someone who's renting it out. Hold on. A person that is looking for a rental property, I think. But if a person's not looking for rental property, and therefore is zeh lo ne'anev, is zeh lo chaser, right? The person doesn't need it, and the police doesn't need it. So AMLO, maybe in that case, there's no isser because it's not, nothing's, no one's losing out and no one's gaining, right? This guy doesn't need a place to stay. He lives down the street. And this guy's not renting out his property because he just isn't. He doesn't need the money. So then the guy staying in that house would be, okay, no problem. Just, he's just squatting on the couch or whatever. So says Rav, what was this, Rav Nachman? Says from Rav Nachman, you would think there's no problem there, but there is. There's still a problem, even though there's no financial gain or loss in either direction. There is still a general perception of ribbis, which is a problem. Okay, that's a more intense version of it, which is not simply that there is a loan and then this guy stays in it, but rather the guy says, why don't you lend me money and then stay in my house, property, whatever. So Tzarech Lahalos, he has to give him money in that case. They can't be tied together. Samanda Amar Hiluvahu Kol Shekein Halveini, right. Anyone who says, if there's a loan, right, if that's the language of their version of Rav Nachman, if there's a loan, he has to pay for a rental. So then all the more so, if he ties them together, if the guy says, lend me money and then live in my house, all the more so you wouldn't be able to do that. That's
pretty obvious.
That's pretty obvious, yeah. Uman Damar Halveini, but the one who says that the version of Rav Nachman is that they're tied together, they're the part of the same transaction, so maybe that's Aser because it's clear and obvious. Aval Hilvahu Lo, maybe Stam, if they just had a loan and this guy happens to stay there, maybe it's not a problem for Rav Nachman according to the second opinion, according to the second version. So my time, what's the reason? Because they didn't have that original intention when they made the loan in the first place, that's not a problem. It's an interesting logic, but that's basically what we were saying before when we read the Mishnah, right? The two things are not necessarily connected, so why would we connect them? Anything you ever do for a person could be construed as ribbis on the other deal that you have with that person. That sounds far-fetched. So our point is, correct, at least according to the second version, it has to be established as some kind of compensation for the actual loan for it to be considered ribbis. Rav Yosef Bar Chama takif avdei de'inshi demasik buzuzei. He seized slaves of people that
owed him money.
Meaning he wouldn't take the people that owed him money, he'd take their slaves.
Put the slaves to work.
Okay, v'aved b'hu aved, and he made them work.
By 21st century.
Yeah, I don't know if this would happen today. Amar le, Rav Berei, my time aved marhachi. Isn't there like a ribbis thing? You're taking money, you're taking value from the person.
It doesn't say that they didn't pay. It just said they right. owe money.
It's true.
Well, it's
it could be paying for both.
Yeah. In other words, it's an existing claim. It may not have even come up yet.
Correct. That's
right.
Yes.
It's an interesting.
It's just he's taking. That's sort right. of as,
it sure looks like a rebate to me.
Yeah. I'm relay. Anak Rav Nachman Sfirili. I hold the Rav Nachman. I'm Rav Nachman. Avdin Nahum Kreisei Lo Shave. A slave is not worth.
Slave's labor.
A slave's that's labor?
Basically, he implied a slave, meaning his labor.
He says,
of the Nahum Kreisei Lo Shave.
Since I feed the slaves for the period they work for me, I'm actually benefiting their owners.
A slave's labor is not
meaning
worth
it's a
the
wash?
Bread he eats.
It's not worth the bread he eats?
No, it can't be ribbis because if anything,
I'm paying more.
I'm benefiting
you mean
this
like
person.
Giving benefit, yeah.
By feeding the slave. Now, what's missing here from this equation is the slave is not available to do work for the person.
Oh, that's true too. How do you
money?
Evaluate that loss of work? Yeah. Amar le, Amar de Amar of Nachman Kun Dare Avde de Mirakid Be Kube. What does that mean? Rav Nachman only meant it when it comes to.
No, so it's the question is, When did he say this disparaging comment about slaves?
Okay. Specifically, Dare Abde, his servant named Dare.
Spent all his time dancing in taverns.
This guy was a no good nick, and therefore he wasn't worth anything. So Abdi Akhrini, Miyamar, but other worthwhile slaves, maybe they would be, worth more than just a meal. So Amar Le, Rav Yosef Bar Chama said, Ana ki hada Rav Daniel Bar Rav Katina Amar Rav Sfirali, de Amar, who said, Hatokev Avdo Shel Chaver V'Asabal Malacha Pater. Someone who takes a slave of friend and makes him work is pater from paying the owner of the slave, if as long as it's not, I have here in parentheses, as long as it's not taken away from the other guy. It's better that the Eved doesn't become a batlan, a lazy guy. So Amar Le, Rebbe says back, that's only when the owner is not, paying him, and therefore there's no ribbis involved. Mark came into Maskev Zuze. In this case, the person is paying the guy, and he's going to give you money for your loan. Merci Gribis, it's going to look like Gribis. As David said, looks like Gribis to me. De Amar of Yosef, Bar Minomi Amar of Nachman, Alpha Pish Amar Hadar Bechatzar Chaver Shlomi Dato, Eno Tarach Lalos Lo Sachar, Hilvau Vidar Bechatzar, Tarach Lalos Lo Sachar, which is like the first version of it. Amar Lehr of Yosef Bar Chama says back, yeah, Hadri B, you got me. You're right. I shouldn't do this.
Go ahead. The whole